Wow.
So good to see you. Good to have you. I know that the Lord is so full of grace that he has something for you special today. He's just like that. A couple of places. We'll bounce around a couple of places and settle in. 2 Corinthians. I will find it. Chapter 11. This is a scripture we'll be talking about some more on Sundays particularly. This is verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 11. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, that is to Christ, that I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. We mentioned this scripture not too long ago. And the words devotion to is in italics, which means it's not supposed to be there. They added it to try to make it make sense. But in trying to make it make sense, sometimes translators actually give it the very opposite meaning that it's intended. If you just leave those words out and it's just the way it's supposed to be written, he says he was concerned their minds be led astray from the simplicity and purity in Christ. Simplicity is not a very complicated word to understand. It actually is a Greek word that means no fold. Then it's a material that's not even been folded over. It's just simple. But the word purity is the word holiness or holy. And basically translated, that word just means other. And so the scripture is really not about our devotion to Christ. It's really about his devotion to us. It always starts that way. We love because he first loved us. Our surrender to him and devotion is a response to his devotion to us. And so we're not going to really here to get into this verse that much, but it's one of those places that's fascinated me lately because he talks about the simplicity and otherness in Christ. As Jesus disciples us, and he does do that by the Holy Spirit, who promised to lead us into all truth, and of course, Jesus is the truth. He's the truth about the Christian life. And everything about the Christian life happens in the person of Jesus. Our salvation is Jesus. It happens in his person. And very classic place in Romans 10:17 that we'll be talking about tonight in our Wednesday night Bible study, where it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. The King James says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, but it's actually, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word through Christ. In other words, faith is the result of another word about this Christ that I'm in union with, a friend into who he is, the otherness of Jesus. Because the life that Jesus lives through us, the life that we're called to live in partnership with him, is other than what we are in the flesh. It's other than how we used to live apart from him. And so if you struggle with temper, the life Jesus wants to live is other than that. If you struggle with fear, then the life Jesus lives is other than that. It's one of peace. And so he's constantly teaching us how to participate because I share his nature. So how to participate, how to have my mind renewed to participate in who he is and who I am in him as a new creation. And it's often other. And so one of the conversations that I just have with the Lord, and he's been teaching me so much about his perspective and what he's invited me to join in, what he's joined me to, is his concept of other people and his love for them. And so in teaching me that, sometimes you can go, okay, Lord, then one of the things he said to me recently was, I'm wanting you to learn to think like I think. I'm wanting you to have the mind of Christ experientially. So he's not saying, I want you to imitate me. He said, I'm inviting you to participate in me, for you have died, and I'm now your life. And so I'm wanting you to learn how to walk in our oneness, our union. And so he said, I'm teaching you to think with me only the best about everybody all the time. That's very challenging in a sense because it's certainly other. Don't we often entertain negative things about people? Don't we often do that? It's so easy. Because fallen people do fallen stuff. and they disappoint us. But the thing about Jesus, he doesn't live a disappointed life, and he doesn't get offended ever. And that's what he wants me to join in, not by trying, but by simply surrendering to and enjoying that life. It's amazing. And so in this thing about loving, he said, you know why I love that person? And I thought, okay, Lord, why? He said, because that's my nature. You don't have to find any reason. You can find reasons why you can love that person. You'll find reasons why you can't love other people. That's not who he is. It's a remarkable difference. It's different. It's supposed to be different. It's Christ-likeness. It's other than our fallenness. And so I was reading the scripture today. We're going to do Romans, the last part of Romans 10 and some of Romans 11 tonight, but I just didn't stray very far in terms of just getting a devotional word. And my time in the morning isn't Bible study time, but every once in a while I'll do that because other things are going on. And so he just says, just use your time preparing for Wednesday as our time together. But this is from Romans 13, really familiar. It says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Now, I'm not under the law anymore. But when Paul's talking about this, in Romans chapter 8, in verse 4, he says, walk in the Spirit, and you will fulfill the righteousness of the law. The righteousness of the law, as opposed to, quote, the law, was like in Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus said to them, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never explore the kingdom. Well, the Pharisees considered themselves the best law keepers of all. But it was external performance. They were bent towards themselves and their own performance. And Jesus was trying to say, the righteousness in the kingdom is supernatural and goes way beyond that. And so grace will not let you get away with anything. People are afraid of grace because they think that you'll try to get away with stuff. No, when you're operating by grace, you can get away with far less than you can under the law. Because when you walk under the law, you try to excuse how far you can go and then justify, well, this, and I can explain it biblically why that's okay. When you're walking by grace, when you're living by his life, there are no excuses. You're not trying to find them. You want to stay away as far as you can from the cliff. You with me? And so the righteousness of the law, he said, if you walk in the Spirit, the righteousness of the law will be fulfilled in you. Will be fulfilled, not by you, but fulfilled in you. It's his life. And so the righteousness of the law, when Jesus would say, you say, I'll not commit murder. I say, if you hate someone in your heart, you've murdered them. You say, you shall not commit adultery. But I say, if you've lusted after someone in your heart, you've committed adultery. That's the righteousness of the law. It's really being free from the reign of sin. And so he says, owe no one nothing but to love one another. And if you do, you have fulfilled the righteousness of the law. Remember what Jesus, the nature of Jesus is righteousness, but the heart of that nature, it says, God is love. And so as we walk in union with him, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind because we become more and more conscious, intentionally conscious, that I died and Christ is now living his life through me. And the life that he lives through me is a life of other love. So he said, owe no one nothing except to love one another. Now, for years, I remember asking the Lord, so in what way do I owe people love? Like, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean I owe them love? And finally, I was able to hear the Lord say, I owe people everything. Oh, what? That doesn't make any sense at all. They owe you everything. You don't owe them anything. And he said, I owe them everything because of the value I have set on them. And if you remember, what it says in Ephesians 1, our predestiny is adoption as sons. We were always meant to be grafted into the sonship of Jesus. And in union with him, cry, Abba, Father. God created us to share in all that he is and all that he has. That's value. We're not like any other creature. So God set great value in us, a Trinity that enjoys intimate, endless, joyful, abundant love and fellowship with each other. decided to create us so we can participate in that, because love wants to share. That's great value. And so when Jesus said, I proved that I owe them everything because I gave everything for them. I gave everything for you. And so it's not because, like, we think I owe you something because of all the great things you've done for me. Jesus is going because of such, that because they have such value to me. Or, since you're one with me and you've become the righteousness of God in Christ, you are a partaker of the divine nature. So my nature is your nature, and you're having to get your mind renewed to live from a totally different nature, my nature. He said, to see through my eyes, yes, you owe them love. The worst of them, because of the great value he has set on them. Nothing more tragic than a human being wasting their life in sin. I don't mean things like immorality or dishonesty. That's sin. What about the sin of anger and fear and resentment and criticalness, backbiting and rebellion, the stuff that Christians do all the time, get offended all the time? It's nothing more tragic than someone who God has set such value on to actually participate in the very life of Christ and the fellowship he has with the life and life more free from sin reigning over you, to still live that way. So even the, quote, worst of us, lost or saved, whose behavior because of the worst of us, Jesus says, I owe them everything. Because the Father gave everything and would have given more, but there was nothing more you could give than his only Son. Chuck, you owe them everything because that's who I am. Because of the value I set on them. Not because of their behavior or one way or the other. That's the righteousness of the law. See, again, then you're not trying to come up with excuses why it's okay to love them. Not only is it okay to love them, should you love them, I owe them love. Because when you're operating from Christ, you see human beings with such value. The weakest, the most broken, the one in the gutter, or the one in the White House. You may disagree with them fully, but you love them. You owe them love because of the value God set for them. And we find, and when you know that you owe people love, you know what you end up doing? Instead of being critical of them, you pray into their destiny. You pray for them. Oh God, you've set such value on them. May their eyes be open to see your finished work on their behalf. And may they yield their life to Jesus and fulfill the destiny, the predestiny that you've always had for them. Okay? The life that Jesus lives is radically different. If you're a fan of Narnia, then you remember the conversation. Is Aslan safe? No, he's not safe, but he is good. So if you're going to cling to the other, your stuff, you don't want to trade it in for the other is amazing. It's liberating. It sets you free from the downdraft, the gravity of sin. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So one of the reasons why it doesn't matter to me, you know, when we, for us, but like if we go to Africa and I'm sitting with one person in a tent with hundreds of people getting prayed for, and I'm spending 20 minutes doing that hour after hour after hour praying for just one person until we see breakthrough, because I owe them everything. And I'm not more excited about later that day, if I'm standing before 7,000 people teaching the book of Esther, I don't get a bigger thrill because Jesus died for the one that has such value. And so I love to come over here, whether it's Sunday or today or whatever, because we owe you everything because you have such value. Amen? I'm just telling you, to see life through those eyes is liberating, and it creates a hilarious joy in your heart about life in a fallen world that it becomes, they'll have to tie you down. Well, Father, thank you for your word. Liberate us, Lord. You already did, actually. But, Lord, cut us free from those things that keep us from flying. In Jesus' name, amen.